Today on Seculo, we have breaking news. James Comey set to surrender to law enforcement after his indictment.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host.
Welcome to Seculo. Will Haynes here, joined in studio by Jordan Seculo.
Hey.
And you have heard it right, folks. We got an indictment.
That's right.
Out of the Eastern District of Virginia in the case United States of America versus James B. Comey Jr. Jordan, we talked about it yesterday.
Yes,
we expected this could happen, but now we have it.
Yes, and I think it's likely the what we kind of talked about on the broadcast, you guys talked about the broadcast yesterday, with count one being false statements to Congress, and then count two, an obstruction of a congressional proceeding. It appears that those both arise out of the same because they're dated the same. I'm going to read it for folks because I think that, one, this is short enough, clear enough, and it just kind of shows you again, we've been seeing these when it comes to President Trump and former Trump officials. What we don't usually see is this when it's this Comey world that felt like they could kind of, I think, get away with saying anything they wanted to Congress. Usually very coy, which is why I think you probably only got a couple indictments. Usually he didn't really answer questions directly because he was a professional at doing these hearings. And, of course, coming from the FBI, knowing exactly the opposite of what you are don't want to do. But here it is. Count one, false statements within the jurisdiction of the legislative branch of the United States government. That's 18 U.S.C. 1001. That's one we talk about all the times as one of the easier ways they get you legally, is that you, again, you take that oath before Congress, and if you answer questions with any kind of definitive statement, a yes or no or something similar, then if they've got evidence that you were incorrect, that you didn't correct that in a very timely manner. Again, so let's read it. So on or about September 30th, 2020, in the Eastern District of Virginia, the defendant, James B. Comey Jr., did willfully and knowingly make a material false, fictitious, and fraudulent statement in a matter within the jurisdiction of the legislative branch of the government of the United States by falsely stating to a U.S. senator during a Senate Judiciary Committee hearing that he, James B. Comey Jr., had not, quote, authorized someone else at the FBI to be an anonymous source in news reports regarding an FBI investigation concerning person one. Number two, that statement was false because, as James B. Comey Jr. then and there knew, he in fact had authorized person three to serve as an anonymous source in news reports regarding an FBI investigation concerning person one, all in violation of 18 U.S.C. 1001. So that is count one. Count two is the obstruction that goes along with that of a congressional proceeding. That's 18 U.S.C. section 1505. On or about September 30th, 2020. So again, same incident. The defendant, or say at least during that hearing, did corruptly endeavor to influence, obstruct, and impede the due and proper exercise of the power of inquiry under which an investigation was being had before the Senate Judiciary Committee by making false and misleading statements before the committee, all in violation of 18 U.S.C. section 1505. So we know at some point today, James Comey will be surrendering in the Eastern District. That means he will be, he'll go through the process again, and then, likely released. But he will be, fingerprinted, and he will, the photograph should be taken and should be released, just
That's
like
right.
It has been for the others.
And Jordan, we're joined in the next segment by your dad, Jay Seculo, to break this all down. He was on yesterday talking about what may be coming. Now we know he'll be joining us to talk all through that.
I want you to know what's coming will be an honest assessment, because I think a lot of people probably have questions out there knowing, okay, this guy, we know he's pretty, he knows for the most part, how to not answer and try to get around this. He's gotten around it for so many years. So what's the likelihood here? How serious is this for James Comey? We'll take your questions. 1-800-684-3110. Right back on Seculo. Share it with your friends and family.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, and our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today. aclj.org.
After nearly 50 years, Roe v. Wade, the tragic ruling that manufactured a so-called right to abortion, has been overturned by the United States Supreme Court. This is the moment the ACLJ has been fighting for. It's the biggest victory we've achieved in our three-decade-long fight against the soulless abortion industry. And believe me, abortionists like Planned Parenthood are devastated. This victory would not have been possible without the steadfast prayer and support of ACLJ members like you. On behalf of the entire ACLJ, I thank you for standing with us against the abortion industry and helping us save defenseless babies. I thank you for making this victory possible. And I ask you for your continued prayer and support as we continue to battle against barbaric new abortion laws across our nation.
Welcome back to Seculo. Will Haynes here in studio with me, Jordan Seculo. And we have Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow of the ACLJ joining us to break this down. Jordan, I'm going to toss it to you.
Yeah, I mean, Dad, I want to go right to you because I told people, after yesterday when we knew this was coming, but was still some speculation on exactly what it would be, we now have the two grand jury indictments. So I want to get your reaction to the indictments themselves, because we're always fair and honest with people. I would say usually there's a bit more than one statement, usually, or there's more people involved. Now, there are others involved here that we believe, obviously, were the impetus for this. People like Andrew McCabe, who said, yeah, he told us to leak things, and he would tell which person to do which thing and had me do it before. So that may be it. But just first, your reaction to the actual indictments themselves for our audience.
Well, first of all, I think it was probably very wise to just have the two counts. So it's a very focused indictment. It's not a scattershot indictment. Sometimes you talk about these talking indictments or speaking indictments. Yeah. Here it's very specific. And as we just played in the clip that just aired, for those that got to see that, you know, I think what you have here is it's either yes or no. Either he lied under oath or he didn't. Andrew McCabe basically said he did. Andrew McCabe was his deputy and did lie under oath because he said he was authorized by James Comey to make the leak. And then you have the second aspect of the leak, which is the one involving the professor, who was also, by the way, a special government employee at the Justice Department, at the FBI. So, look, I think it's very targeted. So I've seen some criticism where people are saying there should have been more. I can't believe this is enough. No, this was the smart way to do it. It's very clear. It's very concise. It's very direct. Now, look, the indictment is the easy part. Trying the case in the Eastern District of Virginia, the rocket docket, as I mentioned yesterday on the broadcast, is going to be another matter. It's not going to be easy, but I think that this was the right move by the Department of Justice, and the targeting the narrow scope of the injunction of the the indictment, I think is really the right move here.
Yeah, and usually, Dad, we didn't see a lot of yes and no's from Comey when he was asked these types of questions. We would get the question on the professor. It was, I think his answer or one of his answers, I remember multiple times he would use is that, you know, I wasn't exactly sure what he might do with it. He might share it. He might not. You know, it was always those kind of, again, as someone who led the FBI, he kind of knew how to answer. But so there were kind of rare moments, even when you go back through these years of his testimony, where it does feel like he's not being truthful to Congress and the American people, that he gets himself caught with the, as you said, it's either yes or no. And we've already got someone on the record, his deputy, who, again, no ally of the president, no ally of the administration, but who was, when being questioned about this themselves by investigators, said, yes, this happened, in fact, all the time. You know, this was a regular occurrence. So he said no to something that others have said he has said a yes to, that he's told them to do many times. But as you said, you've got to then take that into court, into Virginia. A lot of former bureaucrats there, a lot of people have prepped people to testify or have testified before Congress, or at least have been in part of investigations. I would say they don't always usually reach the level of actually testifying before Congress. So it's a like D.C., a unique place to try these types of individuals.
Yeah, and not easy, because the Eastern District tends to skew very much Democratic in its political leanings.
Yeah.
So the jury selection is going to be critical here. But I want to focus on one thing here that people may have forgotten. You've got to remember what James Comey did throughout all of this. Not only what he did to President Trump, but the stuff he did with and the way he handled the Hillary Clinton investigation and then opened it back up days before the election. So there's a lot of stuff with James Comey. But don't forget this, and I want everybody to remember this. And we had to deal with this, of course, during the representation of President Trump and during the first impeachment proceedings. But here's what you have. James Comey left the meeting of the President of the United States, went into his government vehicle, took out his government computer, typed a memo, and sent it to a professor in New York, who then allegedly leaked it to the press. So think about that for a moment. The head of the FBI meeting with the then sitting president of the United States, and this is what happens. So it's outrageous what he did. His conduct was illegal in my view. And I think this indictment, very tailored, very specific, narrow, is the way to approach this case.
And when you look at also the fact that he even admitted that that memo that you talked about, he told Susan Collins that he showed it to that professor to give to the New York Times to leak.
He'd already
established a pattern that this was his MO, but yet was trying to have it both ways when it came to his testimony before Congress. The fact that, as you mentioned, this is very narrow and very tailored, I think that is one thing that our audience, I know, is thinking about is, wait, you know, with when Trump, they raided Mar-a-Lago, with other associates of Trump, they raided their home. The Justice Department here, I feel like, is showing restraint, using the appropriate charges and not raiding his home, letting him know, you're indicted, surrender. I wanted your take on that.
No, I think that, look, the Department of Justice under Pam Bondi is doing it the way you're supposed to do it. None of this showboating, none of this calling CNN when you're, you know, raiding someone's house so that they can get it on camera. Here it was done in the way it's supposed to be done. So I think that's very good for the Department of Justice, and it's restoring some credibility, but also procedure and process that was necessary. But what everybody needs to realize going forward, this is going to be now in the litigation mode, and Virginia's pretty quick, the Eastern District particularly, and I think it's going to move relatively quickly. But the reality is, by targeting it with just the two counts, I think that was a really smart prosecutorial move in order to tailor the evidence to the specific charge, and I think that will serve the country well, and hopefully there will be, in my view, hopefully, a verdict of guilty, and then this matter can be put to bed. But what the Department of Justice did and the FBI under James Comey, remember, he jumped over Loretta Lynch, the Attorney General, who's his boss, in some of these announcements he made on the Clinton matter. So none of this is right, what Comey did. His attitude after leaving office has also been unbelievable. I mean, you had those threats on the beach about 6 months ago. This is just James Comey's modus operandi, and I think it finally has now caught up with him. But he'll get lawyers, and they'll put up a real fight.
One final question for you. I know it's something we care about here at the ACLJ and fight for every day, and that is upholding the rule of law, upholding the trust in the justice system. Do you feel like this indictment is a first step at restoring some of that trust?
I do. I think it reminds me very similarly of when we were vindicated in our case that we brought against the IRS for targeting the Tea Party a decade ago. And when the case was resolved, you felt like we got justice. I think this is the first step. It's the first step, though. There's going to be a lot of motions and a lot of activity between now and the actual trial. But I do think it was the right step. And I hope the American people and our audience understands it takes time, but the right thing was done here and the right process is being followed. And we need to now give the Department of Justice the ability to do their job. And of course, you know, we know about this case probably more than any lawyers in America, is the truth.
Yes. And when we come back, we're going to play for you, now that we can kind of piece together the statements that led to this indictment, so that you can hear them for yourself, hear the evidence that likely the grand jury heard and that people will be, that the jury will be hearing in this case. We also have James Comey has issued a video statement, so we can play that for you when we come back. This is his first, at least, full statement. He's making it, I will tell you this, very political. Goes after Donald Trump. I think Donald Trump's name is said within the first sentence. So, I mean, this is, again, you see how he's setting it up already, which is, this is just me standing up to Donald Trump. And as my dad reminded everybody, talking about interfering in the election, if you were Hillary Clinton, wouldn't you have fired James Comey too? I think I said it multiple times. The answer would be yes. I mean, the fact that he went against, didn't inform the Attorney General Loretta Lynch. We'll see if we ever get answers to that. And just, you know, reopen investigation. And ultimately, what was found on that other laptop was the same information, but it was days before. So, you know, this bipartisan in the sense of, you know, that feeling that at that time, we're the FBI, we run the government. You know, you put these politicians in, they come and go, but we're the ones who are really in charge. And while we've gotten used to, maybe just in the last months of a very different FBI, that has been kind of and of course, you know, the Trump administration was fighting it. This has been kind of the norm. And so we've gotten used to a new normal. Don't get used to it, you know, too long, because we've got another elections coming up. But you see the difference already. The feel is that it's not an FBI there to try and say, we run the government. We'll take your calls too. We come back. 1-800-684-3110. Support the work of the ACLJ. Donate today at aclj.org.
After nearly 50 years, Roe versus Wade, the tragic ruling that manufactured a so-called right to abortion, has been overturned by the United States Supreme Court. This is the moment the ACLJ has been fighting for. It's the biggest victory we've achieved in our 3-decade-long fight against the soulless abortion industry. And believe me, abortionists like Planned Parenthood are devastated. This victory would not have been possible without the steadfast prayer and support of ACLJ members like you. On behalf of the entire ACLJ, I thank you for standing with us against the abortion industry and helping us save defenseless babies. I thank you for making this victory possible, and I ask you for your continued prayer and support as we continue to battle against barbaric new abortion laws across our nation.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, and our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today. aclj.org.
Welcome back to Seculo. We're going to continue this discussion on James Comey's indictment. But I did also want to point out, you saw in the break maybe there some sound from Bibi Netanyahu's speech at the UN. We represented many of the hostage families that were taken by Hamas on October 7th. We've had some celebrations and some tragedies out of that. But Prime Minister Netanyahu read the names of the 20 hostages believed still to be alive. And two of those are brothers, twin brothers, that the ACLJ represented the family, took their brother to Congress to meet with the Speaker of the House and to advocate for them. So there was some good news this morning that Bibi Netanyahu mentioned that Gail and Ziv Berman are among those still living.
Yes.
That were taken hostage by Hamas. We'll talk about a little bit of that more later, but say a prayer for them, their family.
Absolutely.
And for a resolution to this, that they can be brought home to their family, because we have been advocating for more than 2 years for those, or almost 2 years as we approach October 7th next week.
Those of you who saw during the break, but maybe if you're listening at radio, you know, as well as you had President Trump saying they think there's a new deal in place. That's something brand new that wasn't really being discussed much, and it didn't look like there was something on the horizon, actually. Things that kind of stalled out. So would that deal involve those brothers returning home alive? And how wonderful that would be, because Israel has had a lot of criticism of saying when they started the conflict to say it will not end until all the hostages are released and returned, that was always going to be a very difficult or maybe impossible standard. And so to say you won't end the conflict on that, and maybe now we're at a point where those remaining living hostages and any other bodies of those who were killed are ultimately returned, and that we can continue on then into getting Gaza kind of figuring out these situations in a way that I think takes some attention off of Israel for a little bit, which would not be a bad thing for the state of Israel right now, because of the ongoing war and just the PR campaign that Israel has had to face.
Jordan, let's go ahead and switch back to this James Comey indictment. Let's play this. This is from Instagram that James Comey posted after the announcement of the indictment. This is Byte 6. And then we'll break down just what his statement is. Byte 6.
My family and I have known for years that there are costs to standing up to Donald Trump. But we couldn't imagine ourselves living any other way. We will not live on our knees, and you shouldn't either. Somebody that I love dearly recently said that fear is the tool of a tyrant, and she's right. But I'm not afraid, and I hope you're not either. I hope instead you are engaged, you are paying attention, and you will vote like your beloved country depends upon it. Which it does. My heart is broken for the Department of Justice, but I have great confidence in the federal judicial system, and I'm innocent. So let's have a trial and keep the faith.
Okay, Jordan, a lot to break down there with that statement.
Yes.
But first of all, it can't be lost on anyone where he says, my family and I have known for years that there are costs to standing up to Donald Trump.
Boom, right away politics.
What was standing up to Donald Trump to James Comey? Sending spies into the new White House.
2 days, yeah.
And entertaining and weaponizing intelligence that they knew was from the Clinton campaign.
Yes.
To go after him.
Yes.
And then leaking his personal notes to try and get a special counsel to undercut the president that fired him because he was undermining his presidency. That's what standing up was to him.
Right.
That is, at best, disloyalty. I know he says he has a higher loyalty in his writing career, but at best, disloyalty. At worst, constitutionally troubling when it comes to treasonous conspiracy, as Tulsi Gabbard has called it.
Yeah, I mean, right away. Listen, Jim Comey was someone who decided to try and make this case that he is FBI director. And different, you know, because he even talks about the Department of Justice later. You know what I was so upset about the Department of Justice and what became of it in some of the Obama years, certainly towards the end of the Obama years, and then especially as James Comey exposed even the worst of it. I mean, there were some things done in the Obama years, the Fast and Furious and others, where, you know, Eric Holder was held in contempt of Congress, a big deal. But then you got to James Comey, and it took it a step further. And it said, we are actually going to play politics, and we're going to decide winners and losers, and we're going to have insurance policies. And if a guy's going to come and say, you know what, I think Washington needs a shakeup, just like all these conservatives have been saying for years that we need a shakeup at our Department of Justice, which oversees, you know, the FBI directly. And then he goes along in this statement, and he's so his heart is broken over the Department of Justice. The Department of Justice is finally doing its job, which is law enforcement. Its job is not to play politics. You know, Kash Patel had said today, the FBI, the entire investigation was done by career. It was not done by political appointees. By the way, the FBI has a handful. I mean, I think there's 3-4. It depends on administration to administration, but it's very small. Department of Justice, of course, has more political appointees leading those different departments. But the FBI, who conducts the actual investigation, does not. And on top of that, the idea here that it's a call to vote.
Right. This is what I want to ask you about, because he says, I'm not afraid. I hope you're not either. I hope you instead are engaged, you are paying attention, and you will vote like your beloved country depends on it. Here's the only thing I can take from that, because President Trump can't run for another term.
Yeah.
The midterms, what? I mean, he cares about litigation and blocking funding bills. No, what he's calling for there is another impeachment.
Yeah.
Why else would voting in this instance matter?
It would matter because you could midterm elections and impeaching Trump again, which I have no doubt, as we know that we've already seen impeachment resolutions, but I have no doubt, especially if some of the new leadership that's been discussed, if the Democrats do take control of even just the House of Representatives, that they will impeach, even if it is a loser in the Senate, and they will drag the country through that. They will drag the administration through that. And as someone who's been through that, they will try and distract the administration and Donald Trump from doing their job. I thought they may have learned from the first impeachment that that was not the case, that Donald Trump, you know what? First of all, look at what they did to him out of office. This is a guy who could take everybody again and go 3 hours further and 3 hours longer and work that much more. And I don't say that about many people, but I can say that about people I actually have worked with, and he can't. And he no doubt showed that as he was sitting through those ridiculous criminal trials in New York. And that is who James Comey is demonizing. A man who has faced the worst of both the federal and local justice systems. Donald Trump. He is the man who has faced the worst of the federal and local justice systems. And you know what he said? I want to come back, because I want to fix it so that those Tea Party groups, all of you, you don't have to fear that they're going to investigate you or do this to you because of your politics. You know, we do this work at the ACLJ with those whistleblowers. Support our work today. Donate right now. ACLJ.org. Donate today, this moment.
For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today. ACLJ.org.
keeping you informed and engaged. Now, more than ever. This is Seculo.
Welcome back to Seculo. Will Haynes here, joined in studio by Jordan Seculo. We've got Rick Grinnell coming up in the next segment, so stick around for that.
If you missed my dad, too, he was on in the second segment. So if you're watching, listening, however you get podcasting, go back and definitely listen to that because he, again, he's been on the last couple of days. He knows his stuff when it comes to, obviously, Comey, but also when it comes to this indictment, because you're going to hear people breaking it down lots of different ways. I told you, we want to be very honest about it here, honest about our thoughts about the initial indictment itself, but then honest about, you know, what's the road like in court. And I think as you saw from that Jim Comey video we played, you know, he's kind of smiling. That's kind of his style, is smiling about it, that this is, you know, part of being Comey and trying to make it. The unfortunate part about indicting Jim Comey is that it puts Jim Comey back in the news.
Right.
And so it gives him a platform. That's the only part I think I don't like about this whole thing is that that Jim Comey, most people that get indicted, they're quiet.
Right.
But Jim Comey will take the opposite. He'll probably be on the morning shows tomorrow.
Yeah, he'll do the full Ginsburg on Sunday.
Maybe he'll be on Jimmy Kimmel.
Right, probably. Let's go to the phones, and if you want to be on air with us, 1-800-684-3110. Martin is calling from North Carolina on line two. He's an ACLJ champion. Welcome to Seculo. You're on the air.
Thank you. You guys are doing great. But do you have a comment and question? First of all, what Jordan just said, that's the height of hubris, what Comey is, that he's got that smirk on his face. But what I wanted to ask about, with all the, as Will said, recorded documentation of what he did and the written applications Letitia James had, actual evidence, why did the previous prosecutor not think that there was enough to go for an indictment? That it doesn't set well with me for some reason.
Well, and we can get into that as well. But one thing, sometimes false statement cases are difficult for a prosecutor to bring because you do have to prove the intent that the false statement was meant to.
You always want
to
look into their background.
And that also is a
thing. Were they conflicted out of people that could be involved in this? Again, we've had a lot of issues, and I think this is a Washington issue, folks, not a Republican-Democrat issue. It's a Washington issue of draining the swamp.
Right.
Of, you know, the kind of saying, well, you know, we don't do this to our own. And so I don't feel comfortable doing this. I'm resigning. And again, if you feel like you don't have a case, and you're a prosecutor and you feel like, I'm just not the person to do this, you should step aside. That doesn't mean there may not be a case there. We have someone new come in and they believe very quickly, boom, boom.
Well, and this speaks to that exactly. So Ken Delanian, who is right, MSNBC legal analysis, but he put out on X, what I'm hearing from DOJ sources, the Comey indictment is among the worst abuses in DOJ history. Shocking. It's hard to overstate how big a moment this is. So those are people still in the Department of Justice, right?
Right.
Really? Like, raiding the home of a former president wasn't one of the biggest abuses? Crossfire Hurricane wasn't one of the biggest abuses? Going after Catholic churches, trying to send spies in there, wasn't one of the biggest abuses? All these things that went after the constitutional rights of Americans weren't some of the biggest abuses in DOJ history? That's where their mindset is. So there's still these people within DOJ talking to MSNBC saying, it's shocking, hard to overstate how big a moment this is. No, he lied before Congress. Justice is coming.
Yes, I mean, it's a clear, there's laws on the books on that. You lied before Congress, you can be indicted. And in fact, you will be indicted. And usually that's the case. It's just that oftentimes these individuals hedge every answer they give, and so it's very tough to bring. I think just remember who you're dealing here. You're dealing with Jim Comey. All right, we're going to play more from it when we get back from the break. We're going to take more of your calls at 1-800-684-3110. Rick Grinnell is going to be joining us too. But support the work of the ACLJ. We've been battling this out for over a decade. ACLJ.org. Donate today.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, and our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today. aclj.org.
After nearly 50 years, Roe v. Wade, the tragic ruling that manufactured a so-called right to abortion, has been overturned by the United States Supreme Court. This is the moment the ACLJ has been fighting for. It's the biggest victory we've achieved in our three-decade-long fight against the soulless abortion industry. And believe me, abortionists like Planned Parenthood are devastated. This victory would not have been possible without the steadfast prayer and support of ACLJ members like you. On behalf of the entire ACLJ, I thank you for standing with us against the abortion industry and helping us save defenseless babies. I thank you for making this victory possible. And I ask you for your continued prayer and support as we continue to battle against barbaric new abortion laws across our nation.
Welcome back to Seculo. Will Haynes here, joined by Jordan Seculo in the studio, and also joined by Rick Grinnell, as always. Rick, thanks for joining us today. Before we get to the James Comey talk, I have to ask you, you were in the lion's den yesterday. I saw you at CBS News. You were in person. It wasn't a remote, but you were talking about the good work of the Kennedy Center. And I will say, they were very respectful. What's changing in big media, Rick? I don't understand it.
Well, as you know, CBS has been purchased, right? And there's a new set of owners. And so I think they're reading the room, as we say. But you're right. I mean, I sat there with Gayle King and she was lovely. She came into the green room beforehand to talk with me and she couldn't have been nicer. And I thought that they were very respectful and we had a good back and forth. And they asked tough questions about the Kennedy Center and allowed me to answer. And I think that's, you know, that's what's crazy about today's world is that some people still believe in critical thinking, to be able to sit, listen, and then lo and behold, find your own opinion and your own belief. And so we gotta get back to that.
Hey, Rick, something I wanted to ask you actually with the Kennedy Center was, as someone who lived in D.C. for over a decade and still is there a lot, obviously, with our office there, is that, you know, it felt like for a while, those family kind of friendly, the ones I'd want to take my kids to, just weren't there. They might have been in other theaters in Washington, smaller productions, but they weren't at, our Capitol's premier facility. And now they're coming back and tickets are selling because I think families can go again. It's not just going to be kind of the arts community is interested in, which Kennedy Center has lots of different theaters for different size events. That's fine. But also bringing back some of these, like you said, like Sound of Music and things like that, that have brought back and honoring some of the people from the Kennedy Center honors that mainstream America really loves.
Look, President Trump's vision was always to make it more accessible and less elitist. And that's exactly what we're doing. I think President Trump was once again ahead of the curve because the New York Times this past week did this big, huge profile of how Broadway is dying. And when you look at between the ticket price for Broadway, the content that they're pushing, it's just not appealing to the masses anymore. And so they're struggling, but I don't think it's anything more than a supply and demand. You have to supply something that a huge crowd wants if you're going to run a theater. And so what we're trying to do here at the Kennedy Center is, first of all, say everyone is welcome. Two, we're going to have programming that appeals to the common folk so that we can fill seats and not make this place elitist. I don't want people coming into the Kennedy Center who get booed just because they happen to be a Republican. And I certainly don't want it on the other side. I wouldn't want someone walking into a theater who's a hardcore Democrat and getting booed either. What we want to be able to do is sit and watch shows that are inspirational. And there's so many genres of dance, music, spoken word, lecture series, all sorts of different arts genres that can really inspire. And that's what we're going for. That's what President Trump asked us to do. And it's making us get on a better financial path. And as we see so many arts institutions struggling, I think this is going to be the path they need to follow.
Yeah, I can't believe the New York Times was shocked that people didn't want to pay $700-$800 to get preached at for 3 or 4 hours in New York. But Rick, we got to go to this other issue of the day. James Comey has been indicted by a federal grand jury.
It's a lovely man.
He is. He's responded. What is your you know, fresh take on this, that now James Comey has been indicted for false statements to Congress and obstructing proceedings?
Well, I was hoping that, you know, this whole bloviation from James Comey about walking on the beach and finding these shells, you know, in a formation, which is clearly a lie. And he stood there and pretended like we believed it. That's the funny part, is that he's so gullible, he thinks people believe him. This is a man that has consistently created a whole alternative universe for himself. And he aggressively does it, and he's confident in his lies. And I'm just glad that we have a system where no one is above the law. And there are a whole bunch of people who manipulated the public, who lied to Congress, who certainly did some injustices to our system that need to be held to account. And that doesn't mean that they go straight to prison. It means that we have a trial and the prosecutors put forward their arguments, the defense gets to put forward their arguments, and let's see what happens. It's exactly what the left kept telling us about President Trump when President Biden was in charge. That's all they wanted to see, was the process work. And so here we are. Let's let the process work.
You know, Rick, you brought up too how Comey kind of creates this alternative universe, like he did in the video even that he released in his first statement about this. I wouldn't be surprised if he's on, you know, some of those morning shows too, or evening maybe with Jimmy Kimmel, as I said earlier tonight. Because he kind of lives in this own world where he forgets too. And unfortunately, many on the left forget his election interference, you might want to call it, when he reopened the Hillary investigation 3 days before an election, and it ended up being the same information. There was nothing new there, made a big deal of it. And the Clinton campaign and the Clintons and the left then were outraged at who? Jim Comey. And then he did, you know, similar kind of things to Donald Trump. He was living in this world where it wasn't even about, he's gotten a little bit more partisan now. I wish the left didn't let him back in. I wish they remembered, kind of, Rick, what he did, to think that law enforcement and the FBI should be really running Washington, D.C., not elected politicians.
Look, these elite individuals on the left have enjoyed decades of controlling the institutions of America, whether it's government or academia or NGOs. They have enjoyed this small group that cater to just, you know, a portion of the country. And they forget the rest of us. They forget the masses. They forget the rule of law. They got together and they created this idea of sanctuary cities, for instance, which is, you know, an undermining of democracy, a ridiculous concept where people ignore federal law. But they were immune from prosecution because they created this nice name. These are the types of things that the elite left do. And I have to say, thank God that we won the election. Elections have consequences, people. Get out, get involved, vote, get more people registered to vote, because otherwise the small elite try to control us and they give us people like James Comey. When we're in charge, when the people are in charge, when we try to take over institutions and bring common sense back, then we have real rule of law. And that's what James Comey has seen, and I'm glad for it.
And in James Comey's video, he did say, "My family and I have known for years that there are costs to standing up to Donald Trump." We can't let people forget what he thought standing up to Donald Trump was. It was weaponizing intelligence. It was going along with a rival campaign's made-up dossier to try and smear him. Leaking to get a special counsel when he got fired because he had already done these things. Sending FBI agents into the White House to spy on members of the incoming team. This isn't standing up to a president. This is subverting the duly elected president of the United States. We can't let people forget that.
Such a good point, Will. But, you know, they don't believe that they're doing anything wrong. This is the whole elitist mentality where they believe that by any means necessary, they should be able to make sure that Donald Trump fails, that they stop him. And by any means necessary, we're now finding ourselves in the place where violence is what mentally unstable people are doing because they think they have permission from the elitist left. When people like Eric Swalwell and Adam Schiff and some others come forward and call people Nazis and fascists. Nazis and fascists are the people who kill other people by tens of thousands and millions. And so the idea that we are like that, that a whole nother political party that you disagree with is like that, you're giving permission to unstable people to go kill them.
Yes, and we've seen just unlimited violence. Even today, there was a rioting somewhere again against ICE officials. And just preventing them from doing their job. And we saw them out of California, you know, they have to take their mask off by January, which most law enforcement, again, when you are in the process of actually going in and doing the job, you know, you've now gone, you're going onto the mission to make the arrest, many times are masked, many for different kinds of protection levels. None the which is because they're being photographed a lot of times on camera, even with their own cameras, and that just their personal security and their families' personal security as well, and the security of those that are being apprehended. That's also on camera for our legal system, which is the best in the world. Rick, thank you for being on with us, folks. When we come back, we'll take your calls on this 1-800-684-3110. You want to be part of the show.
After nearly 50 years, Roe versus Wade, the tragic ruling that manufactured a so-called right to abortion, has been overturned by the United States Supreme Court. This is the moment the ACLJ has been fighting for. It's the biggest victory we've achieved in our 3-decade-long fight against the soulless abortion industry. And believe me, abortionists like Planned Parenthood are devastated. This victory would not have been possible without the steadfast prayer and support of ACLJ members like you. On behalf of the entire ACLJ, I thank you for standing with us against the abortion industry and helping us save defenseless babies. I thank you for making this victory possible. And I ask you for your continued prayer and support as we continue to battle against barbaric new abortion laws across our nation.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, and our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, Well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today. aclj.org.
Welcome back to Seculo. We're going to get right to your phone calls. We're going to go to Bill calling from Wyoming on line one. Bill, you're on Seculo.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I'd like to present my opinion to you guys, because I think after seeing this video of him talk about what he is, I think he's going to try and troll the president by proving that he's more intelligent as well as innocent compared to the two of them by putting his mug shot out on the Facebook as well as on coffee mugs and T-shirts. Are you guys more familiar with him than I am?
Yeah, I mean, Bill, I think, and I'll get your thoughts on this, Bill. I think the difference is that listen, I have that shirt from Donald Trump, one, because I thought it was historic, and two, hilarious. The former FBI director doing that, yes, he might do things like this because he acts a lot more like a politician, but he's actually more of like a salesman now. He's the Jim Comey salesman, and it's all, you know, it's the books and the appearances and the just the industry of being anti-Trump. That's why in the first sentence in the video, that's what it was about. It wasn't about his innocence. It was just about standing up to Donald Trump. But Bill, I mean, your thoughts are is... And I guess, as Rick said, it's like the left just kind of forgot that he was trying to make the FBI into an institution that was above the law, Republican and Democrat. So he especially didn't like Donald Trump saying drain the swamp, but he also wanted to push Hillary Clinton too. And he did that by, you know, I think inappropriately making that whole press conference about reopening investigation before they looked and saw what was in there, which was information they already had. Yet the left just forgets this, Bill. And so I guess I want to go back to you, Bill, and just say, do you think he's still got a big enough constituency? And is it just the Trump derangement syndrome crowd that jumps on?
I think my intelligence has grown a little bit more ever since listening to this guy. So I don't think so. And I think people who are really thinking are really going to turn their backs on him, as far as I'm concerned.
Right. Yeah. That's what I kind of think is Jim Comey, the 86, 47. First of all,
you know who he's acting a lot more like? J. Edgar Hoover, who didn't have the greatest reputation.
And the weird part is he's still acting like it when he has zero power.
Right, exactly.
And I'm not sure how many friends he has left. I'm really honest about that, though. He might have some liberals that say, "Oh, this is horrible," and the press says this is horrible. Maybe the press, because it's a good story. But actual friends inside Washington, do you want to be around Jim Comey? Because
no.
Even Andrew McCabe, who was a very close deputy of his, you know, totally contradicted him. I don't know what their relationship like is now, but I'm assuming that if he is the person that it sounds like is being, you know, in some of these documents, that he will be called before. And I doubt that he is not going to just repeat the same line unless he takes the fifth, which is a whole nother issue, since he's already, I think he was probably under oath when he was giving that testimony to congressional investigators. If he was, I don't think he would then be able to take the fifth. Then first they could play it as well. It's on. I'm sure they have the audio, if not the video of that for the jury. So I don't want to go too far down that. Well, let's go back to the phones at 1-800-684-3110. If you want to be on the air, I'd call right now.
Yeah. Let's go ahead and take Annie calling from Florida. Line four, Annie, you're on Seculo.
Thank you. Make sure that all my thoughts, that I don't lose trend in the conversations that have followed from the time I called, are incredibly online. I mean, just on point. I think that this person, years ago, he would have been executed. And I think that it is extremely dangerous, the posture that he has taken. I realize that he has been favored, so he took a very political stand that he chose to do. That is not what he should have done. under
traitor. Yeah, people have used the word traitor.
Tulsi Gabbard described what both Jim Comey and John Brennan and James Clapper
is a
treasonous conspiracy.
Of, yes, yes. That, the whole cabal. Yeah. And listen, I mean, we know what the punishments for that can be if proven in court. Now, that is not what this case is. This case is lying to Congress. So, you know, again, serious. So I don't think we have to jump to these other conclusions. If we have FBI directors lying to Congress, and these were guys who hardly ever answer with yes or no's, but the one time he did, and it might be one of the very few or only times that he really kept doubling down with the yes and no's, is the time that gets them in trouble. And why is that? Because the one time they actually sound like they're trying to be definitive in their answer and honest with the American people, it appears at least to this grand jury and the Department of Justice that they lied.
If you were to go through James Comey testimony, you would hear a lot of, I don't recall, or that doesn't ring a bell, which are
ways to get around definitively answering. Or it's possible someone interpreted what my words is that. I didn't know exactly what the professor might do with the documents.
Well, even the professor, the documents that Just the News got with John Solomon, they asked him, did you ever leak classified material that James Comey gave you? And he said, I don't believe I did, but with a discount, which is the most open-ended, like saying, no, but a discount. How much was that discount? 100% off.
And the reason why they were answering like that is because they were prepared.
Right.
They knew ultimately that, listen, when you start playing politics like this, the other side is going to investigate. Ultimately, they're going to get that information. So you couch almost everything you say. That's why so many of those congressional hearings can be so just kind of infuriating for those members of Congress who are just looking for answers from government servants. They are to serve the people. That is why they are there. We pay their salaries to provide a service to the American people. And in the FBI's case, it's to protect us from criminals, from both. And typically, their involvement is mostly domestic. But they've seen, of course, kind of an increase into, and I think that's the global economy. Some of that makes sense. It's gotten a little bit more difficult. And I think that's why the position that Rick Rennell who's on staff with us, and Tulsi Gabbard, who was on staff with us, has now as Director of National Intelligence, is so important, because really all of these agencies play part in these roles. Like she said, you don't just say Comey because he only does domestic in this. In fact, he was doing Russia and he was doing Ukraine. I mean, it was going through and look at look at the actual consequences of some of these their politics. War. I mean, you could look to Ukraine and say this certainly could play a role, because we were debating it around and throwing it around to play domestic politics with. And so I think this is why, it's a reason why, to support the work of the ACLJ, because I don't know of another organization, especially that has got the legal policy, the C4 side with ACLJ Action, the Washington, the international representation, that can have this conversation in 1 hour with you on all of these topics, bring in experts who lived it, some of us who really lived these, and bring it to you in 1 hour. And really, it's less than that if you take out the commercials. And some of you who listen to the podcast can see that. That is why you support the work of the ACLJ. It's not the commentary. It's the commentary that comes from the people who are doing this work. And we're doing this work because you make the donations so we can. So donate today so our team continues to do the work at ACLJ.org. In fact, donate right now.
For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today. ACLJ.org.